our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
News from the world of radio every Sunday morning at 10:30 on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at CKUT.ca.
Hi everyone, welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, October the 31st. It's Halloween.
Yes.
Happy Halloween to all of our listeners out there. My name's Sheldon. The other voice you hear is Jill, and we are here every week at 10:30 Eastern, 14:30 UTC right now. But next week, of course, with the time change back to standard time, we'll still be on at 10:30 Eastern, but the UTC time will be 15:30 UTC. So keep that in mind for next week. 10:30 Eastern Standard Time and 15:30 UTC beginning next week for our show.
And it's not impossible that the time that is going to air on CKUT will not be correct.
Yeah, we've always had a little difficulty with that during the switchover. So we'll keep you updated as to, you know, where to find the show. You might be best to go to the YouTube recording next time around. Yep. If things get out of sync with the time change, as they often do at CKUT. So keep that in mind. We'll post up a reminder of it as well. If you want to reach us by email, our address is radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our Facebook group had a bit of a jump this week. It is International Radio Report. We have new members, Bobby, Gordon, Sam, Ken, and Walter, bringing us to 643. We thank all of you guys for joining. And our YouTube channel, which I mentioned earlier, if you want to catch the show after an hour or so after it airs and onward from there, also go back and listen to previous shows. It's youtube.com/International Radio Report. So we start off today's show with some sad news in our local Montreal area, and some of our CIDX members will probably, some may know of this story, some may not, but we lost one of our longtime members here in Montreal, also a gentleman very active in the ham radio field as well in Montreal, particularly with the Montreal Amateur Radio Club. And also he was involved in marine radio. He taught with the Power Squadron and taught marine radio license courses. Jim Hay passed away this past week. His call sign, VE2VE. And we received the details from a friend of his who had been helping him out over the last few months, his friend Roman. And he wrote the following. Our fellow friends and family of Jim Hay, James Robert Hay passed away at 5.04 p.m. on Friday, October the 22nd, in the company of his brother Dave Wilson. At this time, no details about arrangements are available. As noted last Thursday, early on Friday morning, Jim was transferred from his apartment to the Teresa Deller Palliative Care Residence, formerly known as the West Island Palliative Care Residence, where he was able to spend his last few hours with dignity and love. The staff at the residence was, as expected, great in their compassion and care. On a personal note, I'm glad that I was able to visit Jim and bid him farewell scarcely an hour before his passing. Jim had been battling a number of ailments over the last number of years, kept a stiff upper lip, and always thought that, you know, whenever we asked him how he was doing, he would always say, as well as could be expected, was one of his lines. And anyway, so I know the last couple months were pretty difficult for him. And I know Janice had been to visit him as well and said that he had not been doing well. So anyway, see, he was also responsible for keeping our CIDX website up and running for us. So we'll be, you know, we thank him for all that he did for us with CIDX as well. So if we have more details on any memorials or what have you, we'll pass that information along once we receive it. So we hope he's in a better place.
Yep.
And somewhere where all the signals are nice and clean and clear.
Nice DX, absolutely.
Yeah.
He really was passionate about radio, and I remember every time there was some online ham radio course, he would send me a little message saying, hey, you know that there's the new virtual ham radio course from Radio Amateurs of Canada starting soon. So
yeah. He was a rail buff, too. I know our friends down in Massachusetts, John Fisher, Eric Cottrell, they're both into trains and, you know, vintage railways and all that. And Jim was big into that as well. So they used to exchange information a lot on that also. So really sad news to hear of Jim's passing.
So today is Halloween, and there is going to be a special show from Texas Radio Shortwave for a scary Halloween cruise on WRMI. So it is going to be November 1st UTC, which is going to be tonight, a Sunday night here in North America. So WRMI will sponsor Texas Radio Shortwave's annual Halloween cruise on Monday, November 1st at 02 UTC on 93.95 kilohertz. That's Sunday night tonight, October 31st at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Second Mate Susan will play Captain Rick's favorites by the following artists: Mega Drive, Ooze, Ghoulthown, Johnny Chops and the Razors, Drowning Pool, Pantera, Ignatius, Cat Slash, Butthole Surfers, Dark Rooms, and Blood Rock. As if these songs aren't scary enough, there's a special spooky EQSL available for detailed reception reports covering a minimum of 20 minutes of the program, and reports should be sent to texasradiosw@gmail.com. So this could be some interesting listening tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 02 UTC, 93.95 kilohertz via WRMI. And of course, if you're to be on the radio tonight, one of the things you might want to do is make sure that you chase four pirates. There will probably be some Halloween pirates showing up tonight with special programs and all sorts of, you know, Halloween sounds, scary sounds of all sorts. The best place to listen to is from 6850 to 7000 kilohertz, from about 5000 to 5200 kilohertz, 4000, 4200 kilohertz. Probably 90% of all the pirates are in there. And of course, hfunderground.com is where you can go and check out who's on the air and even participate if you open a free account. And of course, that could be a lot of fun to monitor the different pirates that could show up tonight with all sorts of spooky material. Remember to have any of your devices, computer, smartphones, or tablets with some slow scan TV decoding software, because a lot of them will send pictures, and a lot of them will probably have spooky EQSLs to go with their programming tonight. So make sure that you actually tune the bands starting, you know, late afternoon local time and throughout the night. And don't forget the special show at 02 UTC.
Yeah, you may have heard some stuff earlier this week, too, past week, because some stations, you know, generally are on a few days before Halloween. So whatever you've heard, if you want to share any of that with us, put a posting up on our Facebook page if you like. You can do some of that in real time tonight if you're hearing some of the pirates, and people may want to check out there as well. But as Jill said, hfunderground.com is really going to be the place to be to stay on top of stuff in just about real time as DXers out there find the various pirate broadcasts. We move to Ontario next, where we have a really strange story. You know, wherever you may be around the world listening to us, you know, there's various ways that you can get your power, your electricity. In Canada, we have hydropower in many locations. Here in Quebec, we have very affordable hydropower. It's one of our really nice benefits in Quebec. But not so much in the rest of Canada. And this is a story that comes from CBC News by John Lancaster. The headline is, "Facing sky-high connection fees, rural Ontarians go off the grid, including two radio stations." When Craig Timmermans set out to build a new headquarters for his companies in Northern Ontario, he reached out to the power company to find out how much it would cost to connect him to the grid. He says he expected to pay a few thousand dollars, given that the nearest hydro pole was across the street, only about 45 meters away. He was shocked to find out that the cost would be $80,000. He says, "I thought that was just totally outrageous. Hydro One, which distributes electricity for most rural customers in Ontario, eventually reduced the cost to $25,000. It was still too much, according to Timmermans. And then on top of that, to pay, you know, an electrical bill, probably at around $400 or $500 a month for the rest of my life and only increasing. I thought, well, now's the time to go off grid." Last summer, Timmermans' two radio stations, Great Lakes Country 103.1 and Hits 100.7, went live from their new home in Little Current, Ontario, about 90 kilometers southwest of Sudbury, the first off-grid radio stations in Canada. They, along with the internet service provider that Timmermans also owns, are powered by 24 solar panels and a wind turbine. Combined, the system produces 8 kilowatt hours, more than enough to run his offices, radio studios, the central air conditioning, and the servers that keep his internet customers connected year-round. It cost him $23,000. On top of that, we have no more power bills after that. In winter, he says he needs a propane furnace to heat the building. A separate wind and solar array mostly powers the station's transmitters, which belt out 77,500 watts of radio signal as far south as the Bruce Peninsula. The rest comes from the traditional power grid, but not for long, Timmerman hopes. Powering the transmitters used to cost a small fortune, $6,000 a month. Our current rate is about $1,500 now, he told CBC News. With more solar panels that we're installing currently, I hope to bring that bill down close to zero and will basically use Hydro One power as a backup. And so what that basically means is a saving of $6,000. That's another employee that we're going to be able to hire. Just unbelievable amounts of money.
Absolutely.
The
incredible
fact that they would go from $80,000 and drop it, though, to $25,000 should tell you that, you know, $80,000's got to be some kind of a ripoff.
Oh, totally. Totally. I had to smile a little bit because as they're searching to get more power and moving into a new place in Little Current.
Yes, they're going to have Little Current from Hydro, that's for sure.
Yep.
perfectly named place. Anyways, we'll see. You know, I'm sure other smaller towns and whatever may be watching this, the first off-grid radio stations in Canada. Maybe some others will be looking at this down the road. But, you know, ingenuity shines here. I'm deciding, no, I'm not going to be taken by this, and I'm going to come up with a cheaper solution.
Yep, and it's the time a lot of the solar power and the solar panels, all of those, the prices are going down. So it's getting cheaper and cheaper to actually get off the grid. So maybe that's going to also encourage some people to do the same thing rather than paying, you know, those exorbitant fees. Well, of course, for solar panels, we need to have some sun, and the sun is extremely active this week. Solar activity has been high. There are several sunspot groups on the sun. Actually, there is a sunspot number of 96. And the sun has actually unleashed a series of powerful flares. Four M flares and one X flare, and all of that in like 24 hours. And it's from the same sunspot, which is 2887. It's Earth-directed, which means that as the images come through, we see that a big coronal mass ejection pretty much heading our way. So that means that conditions can change rapidly. Right now, the forecast is for a G3 class solar storm or geomagnetic storm that could happen. It could be ongoing as the show is playing, but it could be arriving also today. So if conditions are changing, that might actually be because of this. And it'll be interesting to see if you are in a dark area closer to the poles, if you're in a northern, you know, in Canada and most of the northern states of the United States. Maybe it could be a good idea to go out and check for auroras tonight, because it'd be interesting to see Halloween auroras. That's kind of spooky at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good timing there, that's for sure.
Yep. So conditions are high. The solar flux is at 112 as we're recording. Probably going to rise even a little more. It shows the high frequencies are propagating really well when, of course, there's no solar flares happening. 25 megahertz WWV is coming in super strong, and there's a lot of activity on the high frequencies. 10 meters is open. So for those that say, hey, 10 meters is dead, well, try it out. It's the time. And, of course, no significant coronal holes. So what's going to really be the major problem for propagation could be the fact that we have that geomagnetic storm. So it's time to, of course, make sure that you turn on that radio and listen.
This is Peter Laws in Norman, Oklahoma. AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, and more. You'll hear all the latest news from the world of radio each week with Sheldon and Jill on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
We move next to the United States once again with a story from CNN by Megan Vasquez. President Biden has nominated the first female chair of the FCC. President Joe Biden announced on Tuesday that he's nominating Jessica Rosenworcel to lead the FCC, which would make her the first woman to serve in the role if she's confirmed by the Senate. It's the honor of a lifetime to be designated to serve as FCC chair, she said, as she tweeted on Tuesday, thanking Biden, her family, and her mentors. I wouldn't be here without those who came before and paved the way. She also said she was looking forward to working with two other newly announced nominees, Gigi Sohn, a nominee for commissioner of the FCC, and Alan Davidson, the nominee to be assistant secretary for communications and information at the National Telecommunications and Information Administration at the Department of Commerce, so that modern communications reach all. Rosenworcel was previously a commissioner at the FCC since 2012 and is currently the acting chairwoman. She's the second woman to serve as the acting chairwoman. She served as senior communications counsel for the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation before joining the FCC. In a statement announcing Rosenworcel's formal nomination to be a commissioner with the designation as chair, the White House said that during her time at the FCC, she has worked to promote greater opportunity, accessibility, and affordability in our communication services in order to ensure that all Americans get a fair shot at 21st century success. From fighting to protect an open internet, to ensuring broadband access for students caught in the homework gap through the FCC's Emergency Connectivity Fund, to making sure that households struggling to afford internet services stay connected through the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program. She has been a champion for connectivity for all, the statement added. So basically it's promoting her to the permanent position as opposed to acting position that she had held up to now.
Hopefully it's going to change the way the FCC has been in the past, almost in the past 10 years. The FCC, when Ajit Pai was there, there was a lot of controversy and a lot of decisions that were really not made to help out most people in, communications, internet access, and all of that. Hopefully that's going to be changed, reversed, and things are going to get better with her now being there. And that, it sounds good already with the help that she wants to connect people and make sure that everybody can be on board. Still too many people not connected to the internet or high-speed internet, actually. So let's hope that things go really good from here. So, there's a new museum to recognize Warsaw radio station that was second biggest in the world. This is via the Southgate Amateur Radio News. In memory of what was once the second tallest radio transmission station in the world, scientists are looking to set up a museum to commemorate its history. Built after Poland regained independence at the end of the First World War by 1923, half of Europe was sending telegrams to the USA via the Transatlantic Radio Telegraphic Broadcasting Center in Warsaw. Consisting of 10 massive 126-meter-tall towers, that's over 430 feet, the radio station's transmitter was powerful enough to reach both North and South America. The Warsaw station was also one of the best equipped in the world with two machine transmitters of 200 kilowatts, each being powered by a 500 kilowatt diesel-powered generator, ensuring 24-hour communication with the U.S. When World War II broke out following Hitler's invasion of Poland, German troops captured the station, allowing the Nazis to communicate with their U-boat fleets and with Japan. At the end of the war, they destroyed it, the detonation of which broke windows of houses over 16 kilometers away. That is one massive station, I can tell you.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this, actually. I was quite interested when I saw the story. We're going to post a link to a website about this station and about the museum that they're planning. So it's a piece of radio history that sort of escaped me, I know. I hadn't really heard anything about this before.
Yeah, I've read something about that, but now that I've actually looked at this article, I want to learn more. Must have been quite impressive to see all of that over there.
Yeah, to be able to communicate, with U-boats, they would have had to use, very low frequency for that. And to be able to, based in Poland, to reach North and South America and also reach Japan on the other end was pretty impressive. So you check out the link on that we'll post. You can learn a lot more about this historic station, which sadly was destroyed. Would have been interesting to have it up and running today, that's for sure.
Yeah, and when that detonation that broke windows 16 kilometers away, they wanted to make sure that it was going to disappear from the map.
Yeah, exactly.
Today, by the way, is the new schedules that are taking effect for shortwave broadcasts. So today, the B21 schedules are starting. If you try to tune or will try to tune some of the stations, your favorite broadcasts, and it's not there. It's probably not disappeared. It's just that it changed its frequency. Some transmissions might have to also shift with time as we have the time changes next week for North America, and there'll be time changes in Europe also. I don't remember which weekend is Europe, if it's after or before we do it. But one thing for sure is that the schedules online are not going to be accurate. So all the apps that you use are not going to work very well. So for the next few days to a couple of weeks, we might be a little lost as to where stations are and what frequencies and what are we listening to when we hear something. But that's the winter schedules that are taking effect in the Northern Hemisphere. Of course, Southern Hemisphere is the summer schedules. So, slowly we'll get there, and different websites will update their schedules. And that will help us find, once again, what is on what frequency and what time. HFCC.org, HFCC.org, they have the schedules that the radio stations actually have sent for broadcasts. It's kind of difficult to really understand the schedules there, because often it's not the name of the station, but the organization behind the transmitter site that is in the list. But it can help out if you want to try to find who is who and where. That list can help, as the schedules eventually will be up to date. So we've got some upcoming ham contests.
Yeah, we have a few for next weekend that you might want to check out. One fairly large one for CW operators, which we'll give you in a second here. But first off, the Ukrainian DX contest is taking place from 1200 Zulu November 6th to 1200 November the 7th, sponsored by the Ukrainian Contest Club. It's running 1.8 through 28 megahertz, no work bands though. And it is both CW and SSB, so a little something for everyone there.
There's the ARRL Sweepstakes Contest, CW, 21 Zulu November 6th to 03 Zulu November 8th, sponsored by the American Radio Relay League. The contest objective to support amateur self-training in radio communications, including improving amateur operating skills, conducting technical investigations, and intercommunicating with other amateurs. Stations in the United States and Canada, including territories and possessions, exchange information with as many other U.S. and Canadian stations as possible on the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meter bands. And that is Morse code, CW only.
Yeah, that's a pretty major contest.
Yes.
So you may, if you're into CW, you'll want to participate in that. And might be a good time to try practicing some of your CW.
Yeah.
Although in some of these contests, there's some of the super high speed guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that might be a little tricky, but give it a listen. It's on all of the major bands. And finally, another CW contest, a high speed, which we just talked about, the High Speed Club CW contest is 1400 to 1700 Zulu short contest on November the 7th, sponsored by the Radio Telegraphy High Speed Club. The bands are 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28, and of course CW only. So you might hear some rapid fire CW going. And given that it's partially, yeah, it is overlapping with the ARRL contest, it might really mix things together with the regular speeds and high speeds and slow speeds, a real challenge for CW.
Yep, if you have an SDR and you look at the waterfall and the bottom part of the amateur bands during these contests, it's incredible. You see this massive amount of signals all next to each other on that little part of CW every band. It's just impressive to see all of that.
Yeah, and given that CW cuts through a lot of noise,
yep,
and interference, you may get pileups of stations jamming up on top of each other. So anyways, give it a listen, and it should be a lot of fun. So that's going to do it for us today. We want to remind you once again, though, that next week is the time change, and our show stays at 10:30 Eastern time, but the UTC time will be 15:30 UTC. So yep. If you look for us at UTC time, remember, starting next week, it is 15:30 UTC. Have a great week, everybody. Have a good Halloween today, and let us know what you hear in the way of pirates tonight. It's always a good time to check out what the pirates are up to on their favorite day of the year, Halloween. We will see you again and speak to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.